So if you have your Bibles, join me as we're going to look at Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. Last week we looked at the fact that in verse 11 that God gives us power. We do not go through this Christian life alone, but God gives us power to carry out the Christian life. And the reason that he does that is because it empowers us to endure hardships with patience and joy. You remember we talked at length about that patience and joy. So as a result of this power that God gives us, we praise him, verse 12. And there was a lot of reasons I gave last week, particularly from the first chapter. We should praise God for salvation, the hope of heaven, the Holy Spirit, spiritual wisdom, power, all of these things that God gives us to live out our Christian life. And then he gives us that inheritance. That inheritance is reserved for us in heaven, undefiled, unfading, and is kept for us in heaven. So in light of that, Paul kind of dives into the reason, at least I think, the reason why he has said all that. And you see the sermon title, From Darkness to Light. There is a clear division. There is a clear division between those who are saved and those who are lost. And so Paul this morning tells us, first of all, that we have been rescued. We start with the problem. He has delivered, verse 13a, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Raouamai. Raouamai is the word for delivered. And that means to rescue from danger, with the implication that the danger is severe. I don't know if you guys and gals watch Survivor Man, but one episode of Survivor Man, it was called Lost at Sea. And he goes crazy stuff. They put him in a raft in the middle of the sea, and he's trying to survive. And there's one scene where Survivor Man is trying to, he's got this bucket that they gave him, and he's taking the water from the sinking vessel, and there's sharks swimming around him. Of course, they have a safety boat there. But when we talk about rescue from danger, we are talking about a severe danger. We are talking about being separated from God for all eternity, for those who live in darkness. Those who live in light have a different outcome in this life and the next, for that matter. He says, we have been delivered from a dominion, exousia, which means a state of control over something or someone. So we have gone from this dominion of darkness to light, and we'll get into that in a minute. Skotos is the realm of sin and evil. The realm of sin and evil. You know, say this before, it's not just that we get saved, and that is absolutely true. It's not just that we are saved and brought into the kingdom. We have been delivered from darkness. And in the Bible, when we talk about darkness, we are talking about that which is associated with Satan. Acts 26, 18 says this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance, that's what we talked about last week, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in them. Salvation is more than just being saved, in a sense. Salvation is something that has radically taken place. It has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the dominion of light. And Paul says this is the reason for all that he has said to this point, to drive home the fact that this is radical. This is a radical transformation that takes place in the life of the believer, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Max Anders says this: God has transferred us. He has moved us from one place to another. He has taken us from Satan's dark realm and placed us into the light of Jesus' kingdom. So when we talk about being saved, we're also talking about not just a set of rules or do this, do that, do this. No, no, no. It is much deeper than that. He has taken us from this place of stronghold in our lives. And when we get redeemed, then we see the light. And I know we often just, well, I'm saved. I trusted in Jesus Christ when I was, yes, that's true. Absolutely true. But the significance of that cannot be understated. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this: For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ. For all have sinned. That means everybody that is born into this world is able to have Jesus Christ as their Savior because they are sinners. That is to miss the mark of God's perfection. You know, it's we often forget the radical nature of our salvation. We often forget what God has done to the extreme, that He has rescued us, He has delivered us from a dangerous position and put us into the kingdom of God. Now, this was done by His action. This was done by His action. And transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. So in one sense, He has rescued us, He has delivered us, and in this action, He has transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. This word transferred refers to a change in state. But it's a little bit more than that. It is to cause to be different from. There is a big difference between those who are lost and those who are saved. It is a radical transformation. God is the one who does this, not us. We do not do this. God does this. 2 Corinthians, I know you all know this. 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. There it is again. There is this radical transformation in which God deletes the past and He brings us into His presence. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. I want you to think about the radical. Yes, we have this body. Yes, we still know who we are inside, but something has happened. It has radically transformed us. And you don't get this through religious ceremonies. You don't get this through do this, do that. You get this simply because when you trust in Jesus Christ, it is an inward job in the heart. And I guess you could say it this way. It's a reset. Because you were in the dominion of darkness, stumbling around, and then you saw the light of the gospel, and you got saved and delivered from that. John 3, 20 and 21, everyone who does evil hates the light. We'll get into that in the second half of the sermon. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be seen plainly that what he has done through God. This kingdom of darkness is opposed to the kingdom of light. There's a huge difference between the two. And there's this transformation that has taken place. This word kingdom is basileia. Basileia. And it means an area ruled by a king. So I want you to see this. In this realm, Satan is the king. He is the one that is reigning over the kingdom of darkness. When we get over here, we get Jesus Christ, who is reigning over the kingdom of light. So when you go out in the world this week and people are in darkness, don't expect them to act like the light. It's hard for them to do that. Yes, they may be good people, but ultimately this affects just about every aspect of their lives. The way that they view the world, the way that you view the world, totally different view of this. Recently, he's waving goodbye. The Ayatollah is the personification of evil. Do you know, just in this last week or so, we're going to execute 30,000 of our own people who are protesting the government. There are political prisoners in Iran. This man right here is the personification of evil. He was and it's actually called the Kingdom of Iran. And trying to get political here, but listen, pray for the people of Iran. When I was driving over to Bloomington this week, I heard a pastor, and he was from Iran, but he was living here in America, and he's been here since this regime has been in place. And he said, you would not believe what is happening in Iran. You would not believe what is going on in Iran. There is a massive underground church in Iran. That goes back to what I learned about Iran last time, which was it is the fastest growing evangelical field anywhere in the world. So when you have an evil leader like this who have oppressed people for so long, when there's deliverance, it is unbelievable. There are people that have been in the kingdom of darkness so long that when they get saved, and it may be somebody that's been strung out on drugs, somebody that's been mistreated, whatever it is, and they get saved, it is freedom. And this is what's going on in Iran right now. There is this I was surprised this pastor was, he's pastoring here, I think in Michigan. But he says, you would not believe what's happening in Iran right now. There is a massive underground church. And when I say underground church, I mean they're hiding from the government. Just like they do in China, by the way. Did you know that? There's an underground church in China. Oppressive regimes. Warren Wiersbe said this, Jesus Christ did not release us from bondage only to have us wander aimlessly. That is true. He moved us into his own kingdom of light and made us victorious over Satan's kingdom of darkness. Earthly rulers transported the defeat of people, but Jesus Christ transports winners. You know, it really is, I think, quite amazing how the gospel is so powerful in a place with a totalitarianism regime suppressing those of religious beliefs. And yet, underneath all of it, the church is growing because people are seeing the light because of the darkness. And we need to pray for the people of Iran. I know that there are radicals in Iran, but I believe, listening to this pastor this week as I was driving, it's clear to me that God is doing a work there, and we need to pray for them so that the church continues to grow and that there's deliverance for these people. And he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we've been rescued. Recapping this little section, we have been delivered from the dominion of darkness. Darkness meaning you cannot see the light of the gospel. I want you to understand something, folks. This is a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. And so when you get ready to tell somebody about the gospel, the first thing that you should do is pray that God will strangle Satan so that he cannot hinder these people from receiving the gospel message. That the eyes of their heart would be open so that they could see the light of the gospel and have this radical transformation that takes place. And I know we come to church every Sunday and I'm saved and we sing songs and we forget the radical nature of salvation. Salvation is wow. And sometimes it's good to be reminded of that. It's good to be reminded of what our life could look like if we were still unsaved. So we've been rescued, and this is something to remember. It's pretty easy, by the cross. We have been rescued by the cross. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Apoluthrosis. That's easy for me to say. Apoluthrosis. This word redeemed. I love this. To release or set free. To liberate. To liberate. We have been liberated from this. We have been liberated from sin and death and separation from God for all eternity. We have been liberated and brought into the kingdom of light. This redemption took place at the cross when Jesus Christ was being crucified. And I also know this week that after the Ayatollah had been killed, there were Iranians dancing in the streets. This is in New York. Thousands of people were shouting. And why? Because they can see maybe the light at the end of the tunnel for the people of Iran and their liberation. And you know what? I thought this was funny as I was writing this. And do you know that when one person repents and trusts Jesus Christ, there's a celebration in heaven? Did you know that? And when I thought about this, celebrations erupt after the death of the Ayatollah. None of us in here knows what it's like to be under that type of tyranny. Physically. But we do know what it looks like spiritually to be under the thumb and the control of Satan. But now we're in the kingdom of light. And we've been liberated. He has set us free. We have a spiritual liberation as believers. Galatians 5:1, one of my favorites. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened under the yoke of slavery. Now that's a reference to the Mosaic Law. That you have the Mosaic Law, and if you keep the Mosaic Law and trust Christ, you're good. You're good to go. No, Paul says you have to let go of that law because the law killed you, and therefore to stand in the freedom that Christ gave you. Everybody in here that has been born again, you have been liberated, and you are free in Christ. That's not me telling you. That's the Bible telling you that we have been freed by Christ. John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What are we free from? We're free from our past. We're free from our sin. We're free from the bondage of Satan in our lives. He cannot touch us anymore. That's what freedom looks like. Everybody that's in this sanctuary this morning, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, I can tell you this. Everything that you've ever done in your life has been forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. You are on your way to heaven. Salvation is secure. And if you meant it in your heart, and He'll work on you and change you from day to day, but you are no, thank goodness, you are no longer under the kingdom of darkness. And again, this changes. A lost person may look at issues this way, but a saved person will look at issues this way. Sanctity of life, all those issues that really come into play. We have a different view. We have a different way of looking at things. Ian McNaughton, in his commentary, wrote this: we are to praise the Father because believers have been rescued. I love this. This is one of my favorite quotes for this week. We are to praise the Father because believers have been rescued personally and positionally in Christ from the dominion of darkness and from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. Thus, believers have passed from death to life. Listen, this is awesome. From alienation to acceptance, from despair to hope, from danger to safety, from uncertainty to peace. Those over here, alienated from God. They're in despair. They have no hope. They're in danger. And in danger meaning separation from God when they die. We don't talk a lot about it, but there's a real hell. And there's a real Satan. And people are dying every day without Christ. And we need to pray for them, that they may see the light of the gospel at the last minute. And there's uncertainty, but over here, look at what he says. We've passed from death to life. We're accepted. We have hope. There's no more danger. And we have peace as believers. Quite amazing. 1 Peter. By the way, you can read 1 Peter. It's pretty awesome if you get a chance. For you know that you were not, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. And that word redeemed means to buy back, to purchase. That's what Christ did on the cross. He bought us back. From the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And see, Jesus had to take that perfect life and put it on the cross to redeem those that were in darkness. Our liberation came because of the death of Jesus Christ. And I thought about it this week. That's kind of parallel in the physical realm. The liberation of Iran comes at the death of an evil dictator. Now, whether it goes that way or not, I hope it does, and I pray. You know, don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for a sinner such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You sing songs like that and just remember how rich it is. It was at the cross, where we first saw the light. And in that moment, God transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And we dwell there forever. Quite amazing what God had done. And this is our freedom. Now my favorite part of the sermon. I'm just now getting warmed up. Just a second. Forgiveness. Verse 14b. The forgiveness of sins. Offices, forgiveness. To remove the guilt of wrongdoing, but it means more than that. You ready for this? It means to pardon. Back in 1983, Back in 1983, I had reenlisted for Hawaii, and I had to take the car from Fort Hood, Texas, all the way up to Oakland. And that was back in the day. I really didn't look at the map. I got into San Diego, and I said, good, I'm almost to Oakland. And it was another 300 and some odd miles that I said, I'm backing this thing down. I'm too tired. But I got the car to the port where it was going to be shipped out. And I got a taxi, and I had to go to the airport. And the taxi took us over the Golden Gate Bridge. And he said, if you look to your right, you're going to see Alcatraz. Y'all remember the movie Clint Eastwood, Escape from Alcatraz? I have long since been fascinated with Alcatraz. I have no idea why. Because it housed the worst of the worst. There has never really been any evidence that anybody escaped from Alcatraz. Because that water, which is, I think, 3 miles, you have to swim 3 miles in 50-degree water, which hypothermia sets in pretty quick. So it's never been proven that anybody escaped because it had the worst of the worst. When he pardons us from here, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. At that moment, you have been pardoned. It's like the jail cells open and you go out a new person. I don't know if you remember Carla Faye Tucker back in 1998, February 3rd, 1998. George Bush was the then president, and she was due to be executed at midnight on February 3rd. And the lawyers for Carla Faye Tucker, she had killed two people, requested that President Bush stop the execution and give her life in prison. She had turned to Christ, was a different person. George Bush denied, and they executed her at midnight. And if she was truly born again, she's in the presence of God. You know, there's, brothers and sisters, our past life without Christ is gone. You don't carry that. And I've seen people, I've talked to them, I can't get over this, what I did in the past, and I want to tell them, get over it because God has. Yes, I bet you everybody in this room has made massive mistakes. I get that. I understand that. But that does not define who you are now in Christ. You have been pardoned. Take the shackles off. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep you shackled even though you are free. And he wants you to hang on to something that God has already delivered you from. I think that's the best news of all. That's the best news of all. Let me give you a couple of comforting verses here. And I love that picture, that guy walking out of jail. And that's what it is for us when we're free in Christ. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more, Hebrews 10:17. That's when you come to saving faith in Christ, he doesn't remember it. And it's really hard to kind of understand because even though we're saved, Martin Luther, the great Reformed theologian, said this, we're simultaneously saints and sinners. But when God looks at you, he sees the blood of his Son in your heart. Yes, we may not always live like it, right? We may not always look like it. But I can tell you by the gospel that you, if you've trusted in Christ, you're saved, sealed, done. And yes, you should repent of those sins that you do. You should ask for forgiveness. But that's, you don't do that to keep your salvation. God's already handled that right there at the cross. It's one and done. You can only be saved as many times as Christ died, and he only died once, so you can only be saved once. One of my favorite Old Testament verses. I got a bunch of them. I probably say it every Sunday. This is one of my favorites. I know, but I love Micah. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? Who is like you who pardons sin and transgression? There's nobody in this world that would do that. That's the God that we worship. That's the God who loves us. He pardons us. Listen to what Micah says. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Now, there's coming a day when those that live here are going to face their judgment. And that judgment, unfortunately, is eternal separation from God. People over here get a wrong view of what this judgment's about. It's not about sin. It's about what you did with Jesus Christ while you were here. Because if you're standing at the pearly gates, you're standing, sin can't get in, so it has to be dealt with before you get there. So when we're standing before Jesus Christ, it's not about our sin. That was taken care of at the cross. What it is about then, it is about what we have done with Jesus while here. Did we feed the poor? Did we love people? That's our rewards. I remember a lady, she said, well, he will judge us for sin. And I asked her, I said, well, can sin get into heaven? And she said, no. And I said, well, then you've got a problem. Our judgment is not about sin. That judgment already took place. Our judgment is about our works and what we did here and how we loved people, how we cared for them, how we ministered to them. And this is the God that we worship. This is the God. He pardoned all of your sin. And like I said, when you sin, you need to repent of it. But it's not to keep your salvation. It's to maintain that relationship in good standing with God. And this word sins, harmartia, means to act contrary to the law of God. And that's where everybody stands right now. Here, sin, wrongdoing, and problem. Richard Melick, in his commentary, wrote this. Since he, and I put God in there, since he, God, was the only one qualified to satisfy his nature, if justice were to be done, he had to do it. So God's plan from the creation of the world was to send Jesus. Read Ephesians chapter 1. God's sacrifice was an act of mercy. Who did he sacrifice? He sacrificed his son on the cross for us. The cross represents an interrelationship of the two aspects of God. God's nature, his forgiveness and justice go hand in hand. Let me just say that if you're a believer, you've been rescued and you've been transferred into the kingdom of light. The rescue took place at the cross. Christ set us free at the cross when we trust in him, and the resurrection and his reign at the right hand of the Father. You are free. You're free. You've been pardoned. Don't live your life in a defeated status. You are now in the kingdom of light. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to live for him in this dark world and to help deliver those from darkness into the light. And he forgave every sin you've ever committed. Either the blood of Jesus was enough to cover our sin, or we can all go to the house and forget doing this every Sunday. From darkness to light.